In the name of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago today, do you remember 2 weeks ago today? I have communicated with a number of people in recent days who have shared a similar sentiment. To summarize, when you slow life down a bit, you start to realize just how slow time can feel. In essence, those encounters led to the question, doesn't the last 2 weeks seem like an eternity to you? Has this stretch had the same effect on you? One reason I ask the question is that our Romans lesson for today begins at verse 11. As I read the first 10 verses of the chapter in preparation for putting this sermon together, I was thinking to myself, we read these words recently in worship, but that was a while ago. Actually, it was only 2 Sundays ago, 2 long weeks ago. That Sunday, we were still allowed to meet for worship. It was a sacrament Sunday where we thought it wise to offer the blood of Christ with only individual cups because what we were hearing from the government had us all wondering how easy this COVID-19 thing was to spread. I don't blame you if you struggle to remember the verses of that epistle lesson. It's a strange struggle of the moment to remember a lot of things the way they were just 2 short weeks ago. Like many enormously historical events, this current crisis gives us every impression as we journey through it that it is shaping everything about our collective future, at least the immediate future. We Christians know this is all in the Lord's faithful and capable hands. In fact, in today's lesson, God guarantees that as a certainty. In the first 10 verses of Romans 8, the Apostle Paul reminded anyone reading his words that as Christians, they were no longer controlled by their sinful nature, but by the Holy Spirit. Through his word and the faith it engendered, God had planted in them the Spirit of Christ, who was now continuously dwelling in them. Believers belong to Christ. They are no longer slaves to any source of sin. And then the Spirit led Paul to follow with a truly big time guarantee. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Earlier, in Romans chapter 6, Paul had declared Jesus raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. In his first letter to the early Christian church, Peter would teach us all about how on the third day Jesus was made alive by the Spirit. Paul then pushes through to the spiritually logical conclusion here. If the very same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is alive in every Christian, he can and will raise every Christian from the spiritual death that enslaved them from the moment of their conception. Both their bodies and their souls would experience new life after death. In the early verses of this chapter, Paul had clearly taught that every single sinner's body is by nature ruled by sin and death. No one can escape physical death. No one can escape spiritual death. If the last 2 weeks haven't cemented that reality as a virus threatens young and old, rich and poor, the famous, the powerful, and the nobody without discrimination, what will? But that's exactly why we need God's, and here the Holy Spirit's, intervention. New life is given to each and every believer by the Spirit of Christ through word and sacrament. The ultimate goal of this new life is resurrection from the physical body of the physical body from physical death to experience new eternal life with Christ. Aren't you glad Lent doesn't insist on waiting until Easter to discuss the resurrection? Didn't you need a shot of Easter truth, Easter guarantee today? Our new life in Christ as believers is already given to us in the here and now. And the guaranteed reality of life in heaven strengthens our resolve to live out our days, not under the influence of the sinful nature, but for the Christ who has guaranteed our eternal security by his own resurrection from the dead. And isn't a guarantee like only the eternal God can give you exactly what you need in this viral moment? Paul continues. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The issues of life and death are very much on all of our minds today, far differently than they were a few months ago. But Paul would have us contemplating issues of life and death today on an even higher level. He would have us examine the way we live every day. Are we being serious and honest about our sins on a daily basis? Are we struggling with our sins? Are we putting to death daily the misdeeds of our bodies so that we might live? Are we motivated to do this by the fact that we are the children of God? In his writings, Martin Luther tells us what that looks like. In particular, he brings out this discussion in his writings on baptism and baptism's power in our lives every single day we live. He talks about taking the time to remember our baptisms every morning when we rise and every evening as we retire. He teaches us about prayerfully meditating on the words and promises of God so as to drown our sinful nature through daily sorrow and repentance over our sins. He even composed a morning prayer and an evening prayer for us to use as focusing agents for these activities. And do you remember how he began each of his prayers? With the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He encourages us to make the sign of the cross on head and heart while speaking the name of our triune God, to also remind ourselves of the moment we were adopted into God's family and how baptism is a direct connection for each of us to the daily power of Christian living we all so desperately need. Romans is where we are taught how complete the connection is between our baptism and Christ's resurrection. Romans is where the Father tells you that Christ's resurrection is your receipt guaranteeing your sins are paid for in full. And here, Paul continues to comfort us and encourage us with that intimate connection we have with God, a connection that gives us a most powerful place to turn in the worst moments of our lives, even in one of the worst moments for an entire generation. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The security the Holy Spirit wants you and I to know today is not only about the eternal future. It is not only about death and what comes after death. The security God's believing children enjoy is for every moment of this life as well, the best of our moments and the worst of our moments. Your Heavenly Father invites you with these words to place yourself in the shoes of a child in a family that has resources, significant resources, that the child knows with certainty will one day be his or hers through inheritance. The Heavenly Father is the kindest, most caring, most generous parent ever. Our future inheritance is truly something to behold and to find solace in every single day. God's Son became our brother by taking on every challenge of wearing our flesh to secure for us an inheritance only He could create. He alone could face every temptation and live perfectly. He alone could volunteer His perfect life into death and then reclaim His life again on the third day. Because He suffered in the process of His securing that inheritance for us, we should have the expectation that we too will have our own moments of suffering, maybe even ridicule and shame, because of our family ties to our brother Jesus Christ. But here Paul tells us to share in Christ's suffering means to also share in His glory. Here Paul reminds, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. On the last day, we are guaranteed to hear our brother Jesus say to us, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. You can watch every single daily briefing from the White House. You can scour every state and local government posting for the very latest news of how this crisis is playing out all around you. But you will never, never find anywhere the kind of security guaranteed to you today by your God in His Word, made certain by the resurrection and the Holy Spirit. And Paul finishes that guarantee with such a flourish that speaks so powerfully to this moment. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. No one truly knows what tomorrow will bring. Not a politician, not an epidemiologist, not an economist, not a pastor, not anyone, whether they're a Christian or not. There is no doubt that whether it's near future or distant future, each of our futures hold their share of trouble and suffering, temptation, and yes, even doubt. In fact, for many of us, there may be additional experiences of each of those maladies specifically because we are Christians. Think for a moment on those first century Christians living under Roman Emperor Nero, who read these words for the very first time. Would you trade your life, your journey, even right now, for any of theirs? Not really. Things for most of them only went from really bad to even worse. But no matter how painful, how sad, how challenging, depressing, even violent our realities in this life may become, they are nothing compared with the far greater glory, peace, and joy that lie in our eternal future, guaranteed by the resurrection and the Holy Spirit. Believers are secure in the certain knowledge that their Lord and Savior will always be present to help, to bless, and to save them, even in the worst of suffering. And every believer has, tucked away in his heart, the wonder of the promises of eternal glory in heaven to contemplate and in which to find spiritual sustenance in the quiet, dark moments of our lives. And in this reality, we are not alone. Paul reminds us that all of creation knows that its Creator will one day end all of the groaning. All of the creation also awaits the last day, laboring under the burden and curse of sin, in eager expectation of the day that brings us all freedom at last. Its groaning and ours will cease forever when our Lord returns to reveal once and for all who God's children truly are, when He bestows on His believing children their eternal, glorious inheritance. Seeing the pain and suffering we see, knowing what we know of the eternal security guaranteed by the resurrection of the Holy Spirit. Even in this moment, you and I have every reason to join the chorus of the Holy Christian Church, echoing down through the ages and on into eternity. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come quickly. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. I'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.